the third Sunday of Lent, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. It was just about this time that some people arrived and told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with that of their sacrifices. And this he said to them, "Do you suppose these Galileans who suffered like that were greater sinners than the other Galileans? They were not, I tell you. No, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you suppose that they were more guilty than all the other people living in Jerusalem? They were not, I tell you. No, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." He told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but found none. He said to the man who looked after the vineyard, "Look here, for 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and finding none. Cut it down. Why should it be taking up the ground?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it one more year and give me time to dig round it and manure it. It may bear fruit next year. If not, then you can cut it down."
Jesus is with his apostles and many of his disciples in a house owned by Lazarus in Jerusalem. An old priest engages Jesus in conversation and speaks of the dreadful times they're living in. "Have you heard of the Galileans killed by Pilate while they were offering a sacrifice? Their blood mingled with the victims close to the very altar." "Yes, I heard about it." All the Galileans present began to shout. "It is true that he was a false Messiah, but why kill his followers after striking him? And why at that moment? Were they bigger sinners, perhaps?" Jesus brings about peace and then says, "You are asking whether they were bigger sinners than many other Galileans and whether that is why they were killed. No, they were not. I tell you solemnly that they paid the price, and many more will pay if you do not turn to the Lord. If you do not do penance, you will all perish alike, both in Galilee and elsewhere. God is indignant with his people, I tell you. You must not think that those who have been struck are the worst. Each of you should examine and judge himself and no one else. The 18 people on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were not the most guilty in Jerusalem, I tell you. Do penance if you do not want to be crushed as they were, and your souls." At another time, Jesus is at Chorazin with his apostles, who are despondent because they seem to be making little progress with their evangelizing. Jesus says, "Resin is one thing and hearts are a different thing. Something will remain, like seed buried under very hard clods of earth. It will take a long time to spring up, but it will come up eventually." The same applies to Chorazin. What I have sowed will begin to grow one day. One must not give up the first time one is defeated. Listen to this parable. It could be called the parable of the good farmer. A rich man owned a beautiful large vineyard in which there were various kinds of fig trees. The vineyard was cultivated by a servant, an expert vine dresser and pruner of fruit trees, who did his work with love for his master and for the trees. Every year at the right season, the rich man used to go down to his vineyard several times to see his grapes and figs ripen and to taste them, picking the fruit with his own hands. One day he went towards a fig tree of very good quality, the only one of that quality in the vineyard. But on that day, as in the previous 2 years, he found that it was all leaves without any fruit. So he called the vine dresser and said, "For 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I have found nothing but leaves. It is obvious that the tree has finished yielding fruit, so cut it down. It is useless to have it here, taking up room and wasting your time without any profit. Cut it down, burn it, clean the ground of its roots, and put another young tree in its place. In a few years, it will yield fruit." The vine dresser, who was patient and loving, replied, "You are right, but leave it to me for another year. I will not cut it down. Nay, I will dig the ground with greater care. I will manure and trim it. It may yield fruit again. If after this last trial it does not bear fruit, I will comply with your desire and cut it down." Then Jesus says, "Chorazim is the tree that does not bear fruit. I am the good farmer. You are the impatient rich man. Leave it to the good farmer." "Very well," says Simon the Zealot. "But the parable is not finished. Did the fig tree bear fruit the following year?" Jesus replies, "It did not, and it was cut down. The farmer was justified for cutting down a tree which looked young and flourishing because he had done all his duty. I also wish to be justified for cutting off some people with an axe and removing them from my vineyard in which there are unfruitful and poisonous plants, nests of snakes, sapsuckers, parasites, or poisons. They spoil or injure their fellow disciples, or they penetrate, creeping with their wicked roots to proliferate without being called into my vineyard. They rebel at being grafted, as they entered only to spy, to denigrate, and to make my field sterile. I will cut them off after trying everything to convert them. But for a time being, instead of an axe, I will make use of shears and of the pruner's knife. I thin out branches and engraft. Oh, it will be hard work, both for me who does it and for those who undergo such treatment. But it is to be done, so that in heaven they may say, 'He has accomplished everything,' but the more he pruned, grafted, hoed and manured them, shedding perspiration, tears and blood while working, the more sterile and wicked they have become. There is the village. Go ahead, all of you, and look for lodgings. You, Judas, stay with me." Jesus and Judas remain alone, and in the twilight the others go on close to each other in dead silence. Jesus speaks to Maria on the first night after the death of her mother. "When there are two to bear an affliction, it is lighter. I am with you." There is a parable of mine which I present to you in this hour. It is that of the sterile fig tree. Do not weep, Maria. You already know who I want to refer to. Do not weep. With your mother, I used the same care as would a vine keeper for a sluggish plant. Praise me for that, Maria, for I used infinite mercy towards the soul that was so dear to you. Her hour of judgment was long before now. I came twice over the course of these years of pain of yours to observe this spiritual plant which not even your praying led to produce fruit of eternal life. Both times the scythe was already in my hand to knock down that life which resisted the invitations of grace. And both times I held back the blow to provide the occasion for that soul not to come to be naked as regards good works performed with her soul reconciled with me. I am the merciful Jesus. I had mercy on her and on you who were eating your heart out over her. I prepared the means for a final work. I sent a servant of mine to accomplish the mystical fertilization of that soul through the sacrament, or rather the sacraments, in which my blood flows and my flesh becomes food, to give salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life. I did everything that could be done to enable that element to work the miracle of adorning that spirit on the verge of presenting itself to me with fruits. And you helped me. I took her now because she could not yield more than that. If I had left her longer, the gust of human sentiment, with the heat of its resentments and forms of selfishness, would have burned the fruits provoked by my love and yours. She did not say thank you to you, but I say it for her. And now she is already saying it to you. For my light has illuminated horizons for her, which her humanity had concealed from her. Daughter, don't cry. The rest will come later. Go on praying and suffering for her, and hope in me.